9. Luke chapter 9. Brother Dustin, is that the Russian flag there? The one in the red, white, and blue one there?
Yeah.
That's it? Okay. I thought it was. I've got to talk to you about that tonight. That's a newer flag that we put up there,
along with the state of Ohio, and we put another one up here. I can't remember which one it was. Maybe Brazil.
Luke chapter 9, that's significant. Well, you notice we have the Russian flag right next to the Ukrainian flag, if it's hung the right way. I know that lots of people got that wrong when they were you know, advocating for Ukraine. They'd have the flag upside down. Michigan colors, you'll notice. So, pastor's not here to appreciate that. But anyways, we got that flag on purpose when we were putting our missions flags up here, because at the time, not very many people cared a thing about Russia. In fact, the only thing you would hear is, of course, everybody was pro-Ukraine, and I agree with that. We have missionaries in the Ukraine, and it's an awful thing what's going on. War is awful anywhere it goes on. I hope that we understand that. For some reason, 2001, we wanted to, after seeing 3,000 people dead, we wanted to see a lot more dead, and maybe rightfully so. But I heard it from a 30-year veteran. He said that I'm not for pacifism. He said, but anybody that served as long as I have, if you're not against war, he said, you're crazy. Those were his words. After 30 years in the Marines, he said, if you're not against war, you're crazy. And that was any war, and that's really something to say. Even though some things need to be done, and sometimes it is war that God uses, that's significant. Those two flags are significant. We're in Luke chapter 9, and we're going to bring it down to a very personal level tonight, and I don't intend to be long, and I don't plan on it. Let's not just intend, I don't plan on it. Luke chapter 9, look at verse 49. Look at verse 49, Luke chapter 9 and verse 49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. That is a great principle to remember. He that is not against us is for us. That'd be a good one to learn. We're going to try to put that into practice tonight. But before we pray, I need you to turn over two or three pages to Luke 11, verse 23. Luke chapter 11 and verse 23. I hope you'll make a reference in your Bible, because these two things here are very, very important. Because here, if you've got a Bible with the words of Christ in red, they're red. This is Jesus speaking again, and he's not unaware of what he said before, but here it is, Luke 11, verse 23, He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Which one's right? He said them both, didn't he? He said, if he's not against us, he's for us. But then he says, if you're not with me, you're against me. Oh, let's see if we can make this personal tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we do want to personalize your word tonight. God, we know the problems around us. We pray for the troubles and trials that surround in our friends and family and our church family. Lord, we are very aware of our nation right now, and we're not particularly proud of her right now, and not particularly excited about how things are being treated right now and how things are going as Christians. And Lord, I know you see that, and Lord, you see far better than we do. But Lord, our personal walk with you is the most important thing. So Father, please, if you'd let me, and you'll fill me, and you'll guide me, Lord, I want us to take this principle, these principles to heart, put them into practice, even in our day, the rest of our day today, and in our life starting tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. When a few years ago, I was part of a Reformers Unanimous program at our church in Enid, Oklahoma, and it was based on 10 principles put together by a man named Steve Currington. He was a recovered drug addict, and he was a very spontaneous kind of guy. He was a very good communicator. He was very active, very hyper. But he had a good mind, and he knew what it was going to take for somebody that walked walked his road, to be able to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to get victory over their addiction. And so he instituted these 10 principles, which were Bible truths that he just put into other words. And one of those Bible truths came from Luke 11:23 and a couple other verses. But that Bible truth that he gave, that first principle, was this. Do you remember what it is? All right, Ashley was part of it too. She's still recovering, so you need to pray for her. But I'll say it so that you can hear it. If God's against it, so am I. If God's against it, so am I. That was the very first thing. Before you were able to make any inroads or make any progress anyways, you've got to determine that I'm going to have to agree with God about everything. And specifically, when it came to addiction, if God's against it, I've got to be against it. That's important because in many places, the kind of drugs that get a hold of people are legal. You can't say if the government's against it, so am I. You can't say if it's illegal, then I'm against it. You have to say if God's against it, so am I. And that will keep you safe from a great many things that the world doesn't call illegal. Not everything that is immoral is illegal. There's plenty of good old-fashioned immorality you can get into and never break a law. If you need some ideas, come ask me afterwards, all right? Because I'm a sinner just like you are, if you don't believe me. Here's the thing. What that does, though, if we believe that, if somebody will believe that, that will start to transform not just how you look at an addiction, not how you look at maybe illegal things that are getting you in trouble, but that will make you ask that question about everything. If God's against it, so am I. The question is God again it or isn't he? Is God against what I'm doing or is he for what I'm doing? A great many young person spends lots of their younger years struggling over the will of God for their life. And a great many middle-aged and older person. What does God want out of my life? What is his purpose for creating me? What was I made for? You know, a lot of times it's like sifting through a drawer of Legos. You know, you're in there and the problem isn't that there's not Legos around you. You just can't find that one you're looking for, all right? And if you've never played with Legos, come over to my house, all right? And you'll find out what it's all about. But John will get in there and he'll start digging and pretty soon you can't see John anymore. There's Legos everywhere. And you say, what are you doing? I'm looking for this one Lego. And he'll be surrounded. It'll look like a bomb went off. There's just Legos everywhere before he finds that one piece. You know what he has to do? He has to eliminate all the Legos that he doesn't need so he can find the one that he does need. If God's against it, so am I. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. That's the principle that you get from that, and that is an awesome statement to take from the Lord. If we could just be against everything that he's against, that would be halfway to thinking like he thinks. You realize that? Sometimes what we do, maybe unknowingly, maybe knowingly, is we try to add good things to the thoughts we already have. In other words, follow me now, you're scrolling Facebook and there's that guy you friended because you bought something from him on Marketplace, but you know, he's really not a good character and he really doesn't make good clean posts, but you read it anyways. And right under that is the Lord's Prayer. And oh, doesn't that just touch your heart? See, what we're doing is we've mixed lots of things together, and it just happens at a finger scroll. And we say, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it is you don't just mix everything together and get something good. You're going to have to say, if God's against it, so am I. You say, they won't understand. If I unfriend them, they won't understand it. Well, who's more important, them and what they think, or God and what he thinks? You have to make that call, and you have to do it using what not the Apostle Paul, not Moses, not John the Baptist, but those words are in red in your Bible. Jesus Christ said, he that is not with me is against me. If you're not gathering with me, you're scattering abroad. Sometimes that's why we have to be a little short with a Jehovah's Witness, maybe. Not that we don't love them, not that they're not a soul, but are they with us or are they against us? Right? That's where you have to draw the line. That might be where you have to draw the line lots of places. Lots of times at Christmas and the holidays are coming up, we just want to get everybody together and try to make it work. And I know how family is, and we want to do that. But who's more important at the dinner table? Your son, your daughter, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle? Would you have Jesus get up to let them sit down? Oh boy, when we put it that way, we wouldn't give up a seat there, would we? I went to a wedding. Well, I was part of a wedding a few weeks ago, and I got to see it in action. In the Bible, there's the story of the parable of the man that goes to the wedding, and he sits at the head of the table, and then somebody goes and asks him if he can get up and go to the back. And, you know, he's real embarrassed because he sat at the head. He said, it would be better if you sit at the end and somebody invites you up to the front. Well, they had a reserved seat for me right up front. I would have been one of the first people going through the food line. I said, yeah, this is great. Hung a reserve sign there. It was for us, wasn't it? And we walk in and there's somebody sitting in the seat. Now, I had every right to ask him to get up and move, but I was living a parable, and I was enjoying it too much. I thought, this is great. And when we sat back, you know what happened? The bride and groom came, and they were taking pictures with the tables, and they saw us, and later they said, what were you doing sitting way back there? And so I got to tell them, explain to them what happened, but you could see the shock on their face. What's the preacher doing way back here? And I was living a parable. I enjoy that. I love it. I was taking mental notes because I was living a parable. But I had every right to ask somebody to get up, and I wasn't about to do it because I was deferring to them. And the person you let have the place at your table, whether it's just even mentally or spiritually, the one you let have occupy the space there is the one you've preferred. That's the one you defer to. For me, I wouldn't have asked him to get up. But you know, if that seat belonged to the bride and groom, I wouldn't have had any problem saying, excuse me, these are reserved for somebody else. You see how that, I don't know if you've, I like being awkward, so I kind of maybe would have thrived on that a little bit. But see, for me, I wouldn't do it for me. But when I see it belongs to somebody else, I get real possessive over it. I want to make something happen, right? People talk to me all the time, and they, not disrespectfully, but casually, but you know, Pastor Lethley is a very important person, and so I got another call today, and they needed to talk to Steve really bad. They said, this isn't a matter that can wait. I said, well, get ready because you're about to. I answered the phone, and I said, well, Steve is not here. Pastor Lethley is the one that is in charge. Well, I just have Steve here. I said, well, then you don't need to talk to anybody, you know, and that's the end of it. I'm training the telemarketers, all right? Pastor Lethley is not into training telemarketers. I'm into training them, all right? And so it may take the rest of my life and the rest of what little sanity I have left. But, you know, if it's toward me, it's one thing, but if it's toward somebody else, it's a really important thing. Why? Because if God's against it, if the Lord's against it, I want to be on his side. I'd rather have him on my side. But here's the thing, he's not switching. You or I have to do the switching, don't we? So everything that comes up, every family situation, every doctrinal situation, every disagreement that comes up, listen, it's doubtless, but that on a Wednesday night, you're going to get offended, to get your feelings hurt at a Wednesday night service right here at Bible Baptist Church. It could happen even tonight, all right? Not that I intend that, but it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And what you determine is God against that? And if I want to get on the same side he's on. And if that means eating crow, if that means swallowing my pride, if that means gritting my teeth and saying, why, yes, that was a good message, you know, even when I didn't think it was, I do that to keep the Lord on my side. Does that make sense? Shortly after the war broke out in Ukraine, after Russia invaded Ukraine, we had people and how do you react? It's a terrible thing. But there were people that literally they wanted to get church money and turn it into ammunition for the Ukrainians. And they said, you don't want those Ukrainians getting slaughtered, do you? No. Well, send money to buy, and they wanted church money to buy bullets with. Here's the thing. This is cold news right now, but when that was hot news, you know what that made us? That made us careless. That made us heartless. That made us disconnected. That made us almost pro-Russian. And it was at that time that I bought a Russian flag. Not that I'm pro-Russian, but listen, I don't want to send Ukrainians to hell. I don't want to send Russians to hell. That's the issue. That's the issue. What part of that war am I for? No part of it. You say, well, buy bullets for one side. That's not how that works. You know how it works? And they'll win them as fast as they can before they go off and catch a bullet somewhere for some maniac dictator on both sides. You understand? There's no glory in war, one way or the other, the defender or the offender. But see, when you draw a line like that, if you don't know the Lord, that's confusing. To somebody that doesn't know the Lord, that's a confusing stance. But it's real simple. We've made up our mind that if God's against it, so are we. He that is not with me is against me. Now, the other thing that the Lord said is back in Luke chapter 9, and we won't go over it as much. But there were people going out and doing what the Lord was doing, but they weren't doing it the way the disciples were doing it. And Jesus had a thought on them too, and he said, he that is not against us is for us. He that is not against us is for us. And we could use this principle heavily in our life too, couldn't we? How many people have we stopped fellowshipping with just because we didn't agree with them? Just because they weren't doing things our way. We may still go to the same church. We may still sing the same songs. We may still, if somebody were to ask us who's our pastor, we'd still say Pastor Leafley. But really, that aisle way there has just become as wide as an unparted Red Sea for some of us, because they were doing this, but they didn't ask me, and they didn't. And it hurts. And just as much as you've got to figure out if God's against it, so am I. If God's for it, we ought to be for it. Do you realize that's one of the secrets to answered prayer? Answered prayer is not this. It is not us getting God involved with our program and him supplying needs for what we want to do. That's what happened with the Ukrainian situation. They said, send it, we want to buy a bulletproof vest, we want to buy artillery, we want to buy magazines for their, and no, that's not what we're doing. That's completely the wrong way of thinking. But if God's for it, if it's something that the Lord can be for, that's something you need to get in on. All right? Well, you have situations like this come up all the time in your life. And you've got the Lord saying two opposite things. You've got to figure out which one it's going to be. Now, we're looking at this. This is the last Wednesday night we'll have before a very serious election in this country. That's as polarizing and as dividing as anything. And it's not a crazy, let's go out and celebrate time of the year. It's not because the real issue is if I'm going to think a certain way about Russia and Ukraine, and I know it's right to do because that's what God's doing, ought I not to have the same mind about my country? You say, well, I like my country. I know you do. So do the Ukrainians. They love their country. So do the Russians. They love their country. So does every farmer in any communist country. They love their country. They love it. Now, you say, well, there's people that flee those countries. I get it. I understand that. But you go in there and you find those people in Siberia, they're not saying, man, we got to get out of Russia. You know what they're doing? They're learning English. They're enjoying their life. They're Russians, and they enjoy being Russian. You see, we've shrunk our minds to just think, well, everything is subject to what God thinks, except for what I like. And at that point, I decide. Can I just tell you, if God's, what would God be for? And I'm going to throw this thought out to you. Would God be for a Republican or a Democratic president? Let me rewind with you. 4 years we were here. 4 years ago, there was an election. I voted. You know who I voted for. He wasn't elected. Wednesday night came around. I was bothered. I was here. You know, the whole country was bothered. They weren't here. Four years before that, there was an election, and I voted, and you know who I voted for. And he was elected. And I was thankful. So Wednesday night I was here to give thanks. Do you know that lots of people were thankful, but they weren't here? You realize at the point we're at, I don't think God's for or against it. We've got two flags over here completely opposite. And I'm just going to tell you that as far as God's concerned, you know what he's concerned with? What would make folks come here? What would make them thank me for the outcome? What would make them come to me with their trials and distresses? You know what God has learned about Americans in 8 years? It doesn't matter if he blesses us or if he blasts us, we're not moving. Now, you're here on a Wednesday night, and you know what I know about you? You'll be here next Wednesday. We need to be in prayer, though, because God wants to affect the whole church. He wants everybody to think like he thinks. He wants everybody to be for what he's for and against what he's against. And it'll be moved by, number one, your example. Number two, your prayer. Number two, your prayer. Number three, aligning everything that you do with those two principles in every stage of life. If God's against it, if God's for it, I've made up my mind already. I'm not going to break fellowship because I disagree with a method, and I'm not going to be for something even though I like it a lot. I'm going to think like God thinks. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God said, that's my mind. I went down and humbled and low as I could go for you. Would we not change our mind, even if it meant humbling, to be like him? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, you think like he thinks, you get the blessings that he gives. I want that mind. I want that mind. I hope you do too. Let's pray together tonight, and then